Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit here at beautiful Christ Cathedral on top of the Tower of Hope. And we have someone who, to me, represents a lot of hope as the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Orange, Ryan Lillingren. Ryan, it's wonderful to have you on the show, and this Easter season is so exciting because we really feel the love of Christ, and that's a big part of what you do here in the diocese is communicating that love in a variety of different ways. But welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Deacon Steve. It's been amazing having you and Empowered by the Spirit on campus. You've done incredible work evangelizing, sharing the love and beauty that we have for Christ and Christ has for us. So I'm so happy to be here, and I thank you so much.
Well, we are so thrilled to have you here, and tell us a little bit about your background.
I have been a communications, you know, professional for many, many years, primarily sort of in the secular realm. I did public relations as part of a number of large global agencies, worked in healthcare, and I'm so pleased that I had the opportunity with Bishop Kevin Vann, our bishop in the Diocese of Orange, to bring my skills to bear to really spread the good news, spread the love of Christ, and really demonstrate to people the profound love that I felt in my life from Christ, and really try to use my professional skills to help people experience that and maybe welcome fallen away Catholics back to the church. That's a primary mission of what we do, but also help people of any faith denomination understand that they're truly loved by God.
Now, in terms of your own personal faith journey, in order to receive a job like this, you're incredibly talented. You can go into the secular world and probably make a lot more money and so forth. But you've chosen to be part here in the Diocese of Orange in this important job that you have. Tell us about your faith journey.
Sure. I grew up as a Presbyterian. My family, actually my great-grandfather was a Presbyterian minister. I grew up in the Presbyterian denomination, was a practicing Presbyterian. I think I had a good faith life, I think. I did a lot of, volunteer work and wonderful things. But through my professional work in public relations, I had the experience to work a little bit with the diocese here. And as I began to understand the Catholic faith, because I had no really background or understanding of the Catholic faith in any way, and I began to see the beautiful presence that the priest brought as I began to understand the totality of the faith and the sacraments, I started to really feel, for a long time that I was sort of missing a part of my Christian faith. And I grew into a relationship with the church through my professional life. And I eventually converted to Catholicism. My wife is a Catholic, and we were married in the church. And, we have three children. And I found, as that process went on, I really wanted, at least for a time in my professional life, to dedicate entirely my skills to sharing the gospel. And really, I think that as a professional and a faithful Catholic, bringing those two worlds together, you can experience profound joy. And I've really found that in my life.
We're here on beautiful Christ Cathedral with the Director of Communications, Ryan Lillingren. And communication in this day and age is so critical. Tell us the different aspects of communication that you currently do in the diocese.
Sure. So as part of a large organization like the Catholic Church or the diocese, we have 42 schools, we have 62 parishes and centers, we have more than 6,000 employees. So there's a lot of practical aspects to making sure that the organization is running efficiently, that people are able to understand what is going on. But more than that, those practical aspects, we really hope to enable our priests, our parishes, the bishop to really lead and teach and bring people to the church. So that involves a whole number of things. So we have a Catholic newspaper that is actually home delivered to people's homes that they're able to essentially get for free at their houses. And the hope is that people that are, disengaged Catholics have the ability to read about inspiring stories of faith, see what's happening in their local parishes, and hopefully come back to church. We do things like what you're doing here in the radio facility. We have five different shows, some of them that are nationally syndicated, that we work to primarily talk with Catholics that are in their cars and want that deeper sort of experience with their faith. But also we have the ability to touch people that are maybe not Catholic or disengaged Catholics as they surf the dial. And we want them to hear inspiring stories that maybe invite them into a deeper relationship with the church. We help the parishes with their bulletins, with content. We have a video broadcast facility with EWTN that is broadcasting global Catholic programming. So we have a bunch of different aspects here that really relate to supporting the organization and the faith life of Catholics in Orange County, but really developing an evangelical beacon from the Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange that can expand far beyond the confines of the physical space that we have here.
What about social media? Is that an area that you're involved in?
Yeah, we are involved in social media. We have a number of Facebook pages, Twitter handles. We do a lot of podcasting, as you know. And that's an important place where we can touch young people, we feel like. But also, you know, Facebook, the age demographic is skewed quite a bit older. So it sort of depends on the medium you're using. But it's a very inexpensive way to sort of build up, inspire people that are part of your friend network, and then give them the tools to go out and evangelize a little bit. And it's very similar to what we do with radio. Primarily, we're talking with Catholics because the people that tune into our Catholic radio programs are mostly Catholics. But I feel like it is evangelical in a really important sense in that we're building up Catholics to take that message beyond and really providing them with education, skills, formation, and inspiration to really take that message beyond. So that's really what our social media pieces are doing. So people that follow Pope Francis, you see on a more macro level, he is really providing those symbols and these incredible inspirational stories that people can then share with their friend networks and touch more people. And then hopefully, you know, share the love of Christ. And then if they decide to, you know, come back to the Catholic Church, beautiful. If they decide to live that inspiration out in another Christian denomination, beautiful. But it's just really driving that message beyond our followers, our faithful folks that are following our channels.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here at beautiful Christ Cathedral with Ryan Lillingren, who is Director of Communications for the Diocese of Orange, talking about the many aspects of communication that we're doing here in this diocese. And we know that we're being broadcast in different dioceses, and I'm sure they're doing similar things. And you probably coordinate with San Diego, Los Angeles, and so forth periodically.
We do. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles really has a wonderful communications apparatus that they've been building, particularly under Archbishop Gomez. We work within the other dioceses in the area. And as I mentioned earlier, we're in a unique position here at the Christ Cathedral in that we're building on this history of broadcast, evangelization, all those things. And so now we're trying to sort of transform that into a new ability within the Catholic Church to do some of those same things. So we've tried to create a venue here where we can bring existing Catholic entities that do this work. So Immaculate Heart Radio, EWTN Broadcast Network, those two big partners have come in here. Some of the largest broadcast, Catholic broadcast organizations have offices and studios here on campus and are in partnership with you, Deacon, as well as our office to really create incredible, high-quality, inspirational Catholic content that those other dioceses are able to use and they are using, and we invite them down and they use our facilities.
Tell us about your vision. You know, you've done an amazing job, and how long have you been in this position?
I've been here for about 3 years. So shortly after Bishop Van came to the diocese, he's really deserves all the credit for everything that we've done. He is very much an incredible teacher and sees the value of using these different communications efforts to touch many, many more lives than you could on an individual relational basis. So he really sees the value of that and has empowered our office to do these things.
Tell us about your vision and Bishop Van's vision, because I know he is so pro-communication in every aspect as it relates to radio, TV, the different aspects, social media that we've talked about. He's on Twitter, I think, more than
I am. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
All the time. Yeah. But what's the overall vision?
So the vision that we're hoping to create, and it certainly takes time as the transformation of this cathedral is and will take time, we need to create a very well-informed, transparent, communicative organization at the ground level. So ensure that our parishes communicate well together, our priests, our the rest of our clergy are all informed and focused on the mission and have the skills and ability and elements to do that well. But beyond that, that's our most important mission that we need to achieve. As we up-level from that, we are working to create an evangelical beacon here on the campus. So that means that we have these beautiful physical structures here, but how do we take this incredible space and create something that can touch millions of lives across the world? And to do that, it's creating a broadcast network or partnering with a broadcast network that has global reach in multiple languages, creating a radio network that has global reach in multiple languages. And you can't do that overnight. So we looked at it strategically and said, who is already doing this? Who has the ability and some of the infrastructure in place? How do we bring them, partner with them within the church as we're all a family and communion? How do we come together and really up-level their work and really give them a venue where they can have even more reach, even more excellent production capacity? So we've partnered with Immaculate Heart Radio and EWTN as our major partners, and we've built the facility here on campus, so that's here, and now we're focused on building that content over time that is going to touch hearts, is going to touch minds, is really going to push the church and the mission forward.
We're going to be talking about this beacon of evangelization when we come right back and what this new evangelization is all about. We'll be right back.
Join us in the Freed Theater at Christ Cathedral for a St. Joseph Hogue Health-sponsored health education initiative for seniors on May 18th from 11 to 1. Dr. Julie Vu, board-certified internal medicine specialist, will share the importance of exercise and will offer other age-appropriate advice for living a healthy and active lifestyle. Also, St. Joseph Hogue Health staff will be available to answer questions regarding their network of care. Lunch is provided. Please call 714-282-3045 or visit health-initiative.eventbrite.com to RSVP.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit with the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Orange, Ryan Lillingren. And Ryan, it's so important that people understand that a big part of what communication is all about is what Jesus did when he said, come follow me. And he communicated to say, we really need to make a difference in the lives of those around us by telling them about Jesus Christ, by telling them and sharing them the love of the Father, the love of the gospel. And now here we are in this 21st century, and the reality is that if Jesus had media like we had, we can be sure that he'd be using that media. 16% of Catholics, it's been said, go to Mass regularly. We're lucky if of the 16%, 7% are involved in any way, shape, or form. So many Catholics, you know, they may go, you know, the Christers, Christmas and Easter, or they may hop around to non-Catholic churches and so forth. But the reality is that evangelization, as Pope St. John Paul II said, evangelization is at the cornerstone of what our church is all about. And tell us from your perspective, how important is this new evangelization?
Thank you, Deacon Steve. You know, evangelization is very much at a core element of what the diocese is doing. I mean, our faith is one to be shared. And we think about the new evangelization in all aspects of what we do. So when we are building, you know, the newspaper that we built into the largest Catholic paper in the country, as we built the facilities here and all of those things, we've really primarily looked at how do we touch Catholics that have fallen away from the church, the folks you said, the people that come, you know, Christmas, Easter, how do we reconnect them with their faith, help them understand that they're truly loved by Jesus and that we want them to be part of our family? That's a primary audience that we've really worked to do. And then beyond that, the message of Christ is for everyone. So we focused on that population first, you know, strategically, but everything that we do is moves beyond that. And so as a tangible example of doing that is we used to have a Catholic paper that I mentioned earlier that was only delivered within the parishes. It was a monthly, it was stacked in the back of the parish. So if you didn't go to Mass, you didn't hear or read about all the wonderful stories that were happening of faith. We thought that that wasn't really following what our Holy Father has asked us to do, was reach beyond our parishes and talk to people that aren't going to Mass and people that are out, you know, in the street. So we changed that and made it the ability for anyone to get their home for basically free. So now we're able to, if you're someone's nominally Catholic or is interested in the message, they can just check a box, sign up on our website, www.occatholic.com, and they'll start getting this wonderful paper at their doorstep. We have worked with you here, taking your incredible message beyond. You were doing podcasts, I think, before, which your message was absolutely amazing. We thought, this needs to get to more people. How can we invite Deacon Steve and his team to come in and bring this message to thousands more people? So that's really what we're trying to do, is take the beautiful things that are happening in the church and really take it beyond our parishes and our typical delivery mechanism and touch more people and share that faith more broadly and welcome them in.
My brothers and sisters, we're here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, empowered by the Spirit, with the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Orange, Ryan Lillingren, and we're talking about this new evangelization and what makes it new. Well, evangelization is not new. Jesus did that from the very beginning. But what's a new evangelization is to evangelize that person right in front of you. It could be the person in the pew next to you. It could be your neighbor, somebody at work, someone at church, someone at school. It could be anyone at you go to a grocery store. It could be anyone. The point is that we bring the love of Jesus wherever we go. And that's a big part of what you do in this communication in a variety of different ways.
I agree. And that was really, really well said. So as we talked about earlier about taking our, you know, traditional communications things that were directed at the folks in the parishes, we're really trying to break down the walls of my faith life is every Sunday and it's an hour and then I go home and I do the rest of my life and I'm at work and all those things. That isn't really a Catholic understanding of your faith, nor is it an understanding that Christ sort of lives in examples in the Gospels. So how can we really help and encourage people to live their faith in every aspect of their life? Particularly as Catholics, we're called to really be an example of Christ in the world. So people are watching, people are seeing what's happening by your behavior and the way that you relate to people in your workplace, all those things. So evangelization, really, a lot of it is providing that beautiful example. And that's compelling to people. People see that and they want to know more. And then you have the opportunity to talk about it and share it. So our hope is, through much of the communications we're doing, is really help people to better understand that being a Christian isn't just on Sunday. It's every minute of your life.
Well, people are just thirsting to know more about Jesus, to know more about God, to feel like there's somebody, there's a God out there who has accepted me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And my brothers and sisters, turn to Scripture. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. In the 8th chapter of Romans, nothing will separate you from the love of God, the love of Jesus, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities. Nothing you've ever done will separate you from the love of Jesus. And that love of Jesus is what it is that we are to evangelize with, to let people know they're loved unconditionally, and to tell your story. Evangelization isn't about being a Bible scholar. It's about, why are you excited about going to church, about being a Catholic, about really accepting the love of Jesus in your heart, and how has that made a difference in your life?
Mm-hmm. I think we talked a little bit earlier about social media and some of those things that we've been using to compel people in the way that you just mentioned. A lot of people view, everyone's inspired by Pope Francis, our Holy Father, and people that are, you know, across the spectrum. I think he is the most popular, with quotes, public person in the world, which is remarkable on its face. But I think that what he's done for the church as a communication professional, when we look at these things, he's leading by example, and he's showing us that words are incredibly important, but action and symbols and showing how Christ would act in the world is an incredible thing that he can do as a pope and as someone that can generate huge media interest and all those things. So as a professional in a diocese, the pope, when he kneels down in confession and distributes those images across the world, and he does it consistently, we start to understand that the sacrament of reconciliation and the importance of that, and he hangs a lot of messaging around that, we're able to take that message and really focus as a giant global organization around those elements. And he's teaching these really important messages that Christ left for us in the world. And he's doing it in a visible way, and he's bringing the entire church along in that way. Very different way organizationally to do it. But from a communication standpoint, it is incredible, inspiring, and certainly what Jesus would have done if he had access to all of these things that we do at this time.
Blessed Mother Teresa has talked about loving until it hurts. Mm-hmm. And if you look at our Holy Father, Pope Francis, he just loves and loves and loves. He loves the prisoners. He washes the feet of those incarcerated. He washes the feet of the poorest of the poor. And my brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. But it's not just poor as it relates to financial poverty, mm-hmm. but it's poor in spirit. Mm-hmm. How many people are living in bondage of depression? How many people are living without hope, mm-hmm. that they don't have hope because they don't know about Jesus, that with Jesus in Romans 8:28, all things work for good for he who loves the Lord and is called according to his purpose. And that's a big part of what we do as Catholics, is that we're purveyor of hope.
That's so true. And I think that all of us are called as Catholics really to share that hope of Christ. And we're blessed as people that have the ability to talk to you over the radio, have the ability to produce newspapers, all those things, that we can take that inspiration, that hope that we feel, and really help people feel that in their own lives. And we talked in the first segment about sort of my professional background and how I came into this role. I feel that's sort of the calling of my life, is to be able to use these professional skills to really share that profound love and hope that I feel for having Christ in my life, and I want everyone to have. I think that no matter your economic standing, wherever you are in the world, you know, a person that just down the street from us at Christ Cathedral, living in the riverbed, can be more fulfilled or in the same sort of spiritual poverty as someone that is, you know, very wealthy, you know, living in one of the, you know, nicer areas in Orange County. So it doesn't matter where you are, but that beauty that we're able to share through our communications efforts are really a duplicate of what we do when we, you know, go down to we take our outreach ministries and go to the riverbed and bring hygiene kits and bring people in and feed them. We're doing some of the same important spiritual work while we're sitting here talking today. So my skill set is in communications, and I'm so pleased to be able to do that. It's no less more or less important to the other ministries that people can bring with their own skill sets, but it's mine, and I'm so happy to be able to do it.
We're here at beautiful Christ Cathedral with the Director of Communications, Ryan Lilligren, and we're talking about communications in general. We're going to be getting into talking and speaking about communication different age groups here after the break. But my brothers and sisters, you have been called. You have been called to listen to this show. You've been called by Jesus to make a difference. Our life is but a vapor that appears briefly and disappears. Every second is so important that you can love with the love of Jesus by opening up your heart and soul to Jesus. John 15:16, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father, he may give you. You know, there's someone in your family right now that you need to communicate the love of Jesus to. A son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a cousin. There could be a neighbor that you've wanted to say something to, but you don't want to impose. Well, telling people how much they're loved by Jesus, how much they're loved by God, is not imposing. It's really purveying the love of Jesus by being that embodiment. We're going to talk more and speak more about the new evangelization after the break, but also we want to speak about young adults. How do we communicate to young adults? How do we communicate to the youth about the love of God in this new evangelization? We'll be right back.
Thank you.
everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit with the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Orange, Ryan Lillengren. And we're talking about this new evangelization. And get out your Bibles right now. Look to Acts 1. And I want you to picture Jesus on the Mount of Olives, this beautiful setting in Israel, overlooking the temple, overlooking the Valley of Kidron. And Jesus' last words is, "You soon will receive the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be my disciples in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And this is Acts 1:8. That the power, which is translated as dynamite, is the foundation of love, the love of Jesus for this new evangelization. If you look at Matthew 28, we are ordered in the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. If you look at Mark 16, starting with 15, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. So it's not an option, my brothers and sisters, that we spread the love of Jesus. It's really what we're called to do.
It is, and we reflect on that daily, I hope, in our own minds about the work that we're doing. And it's such so beautiful to have the opportunity to share that with the world, share that with our diocese. And really, as we were talking sort of off-air before, we were talking about our abilities as communicators, as evangelizers, to really help people understand the need that you just said, to take their faith and share it. Often in America, we kind of, as we talked about, compartmentalize our faith, and we don't want to impose on people. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to bring up our faith, our religion. It's kind of a taboo subject, but it's not. It is who we are, and it is what we're called to do. And I think that, as you said, people are thirsty for it, and people are hungry for it, particularly as we're going to talk about a little bit about young adults, and very much the culture of young people is fairly secular. And those people, maybe more than people our age, feel it's even harder to share their faith with their friends and maybe even their family. So I think it's up to us to really help people realize they need to celebrate their faith and celebrate the love that they feel, and know that every human being deserves and to feel that same love that exists for them.
Now, you have three children?
I have three children.
And mm-hmm. What are their ages?
5 and a half, 3 and a half, and a 3-month-old.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So as we look at children, let's mm-hmm. say, perhaps older, but how do we, as Catholics who love our faith and love the church, how do we communicate that, the love of the church, to, say, children that are, you know, anywhere between, say, 5 and high school?
So it is a bit tricky. So I think that the younger groups, I mean, we need to break those up a little bit. So the younger kids, very much leading by example in your family is incredibly important with those younger ages, and going into high school, the love that spouses have for one another, and how that is really part and parcel of the love of Christ and how that works. I think that's really important. The structure of the family, having kind of structure around having family meals together, praying the rosary, reading scripture together. All those things are really important for children to sort of build that faith life. We really focus on education with kids and all those other things, and we build study habits and all of those things. So that's a focus in our society, and it is successful for certain things. I think that we need to bring some of those aspects into the faith life, really teaching kids how to sort of integrate their faith into their life is really important.
One of the things you mentioned is living by example. And my brothers and sisters, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to strive to be the disciples of Christ that God has called you to be. And that means that go to church yourself, you know, make a difference by prayer, you know, be active in a prayer life, saying a family rosary, making sure you even say, obviously say grace before meals, but not just at home, but also in a restaurant. There's no reason that you can't do that, but to make a difference. And, you know, as we look at confirmation and you look at those students and you look at post-confirmation, it's so important that we make a difference in their lives, those high school students mm-hmm. that are so impressionable and, mm-hmm. and they learn from each other. Mm-hmm. How can we make a difference through communication to them?
So we found with that young adult group, we were talking a little bit off air about UCI, which is the large UC system college in Irvine. They have a great interfaith center. They have Catholic masses at the center. Many hundreds of students come for holy days and all those things. But they are looking for something. They were raised Catholic. They still have a thirst for that touch, but they don't. In their world, they don't exactly know where they fit or where to relate. They've left home. They're in a new area. They don't have a parish. That's a unique place that we really try to make sure that we can connect with them and keep that relationship with the church going forward. So when they have a family and all those things. This age group relates to an organizational church differently than, you know, older folks do or people my age. So really, they relate to one another. They know there's a need, and they feel more of a spirituality more than an organized religious sort of understanding. And I think that's an interpretation that's really brought to them by the contemporary culture. They think that the church and spirituality are somewhat in conflict or something, which is not at all the case. But it's up to us to reach out to them in a different way. So how do we create engagement opportunities through ministries like yours that are a little bit outside of the traditional structure of the church? Church, where they can celebrate their faith and learn, and then they'll come back and they'll celebrate Mass and they'll do those things. But how do we create different opportunities for them to engage that are more culturally relevant to them?
And one of the things that's so important is social media to mm-hmm. them. And they often communicate with each other through mm-hmm. social media. And how can we make a difference there?
So they're all these young folks are all engaged in social media, whether it's Snapchat, Pinterest, all these different things. What we found the best way to communicate and engage them is to, from the church, to provide them the tools to engage with their friends on social media rather than it just coming directly from us, which we do. But we find like if there's some like a ministry group that we want them to engage with or we think would be valuable to them, we'll create a lot of Facebook takeover assets, image assets, inspiring quotes and things, and we'll provide packages to opinion leaders, we call them, within those young adult groups, and allow them to share it with their friends, because a young person will listen to advice or information from a friend of theirs that they know. They're less likely to take it directly from, my office or something like that. So we found that that's a more effective way. Same message, just delivered a little bit differently. They're more compelled to participate.
And they don't follow the same approaches that the older generation does. And they clearly let you know that they think differently. And music is something that's extremely important to them.
Yeah, music is and this is very, goes right back to the roots of our faith. Music and art is an incredible way to experience the divine. And Christ is present there. And I think we should celebrate that. So we've created a number of different music festivals and things that are ongoing. We're actually in planning, and we're not at the point to announce the date yet, but we're planning a big 40th anniversary music festival here at the Christ Cathedral that'll be happening in the late summer. And it's very much going to be, a lot of young adult-centric music activities, really important sort of headline acts that'll be here. Because we want young adults to come here and celebrate that music, and it's a faith experience. We had Matt Maher here a couple of months ago, and it was an interesting twist on almost like a service, really. And he was a worship leader, and he did an incredible job, and he really walked that line between delivering and discussing the gospel and celebrating through music. So it was a really beautiful experience. So I think that's a neat place to sort of live with these young people.
The thing I've learned in our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is we have a young adult group that's part of it, and we're fostering leadership mm-hmm. within young adults, because it's so critical that young adult leaders lead young adults. Mm-hmm. To your point, mm-hmm. they're communicating differently in different styles and different formats. But there's also this desire for the traditional. Adoration mm-hmm. is something that's extremely important to mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. and they really like the Catholic teachings, they know they don't have it. So catechesis is also very important. And, you know, if you think about where we've been in post-Vatican II, it was a little bit of, well, kind of experience it yourself, mm-hmm. not as much of the formal teaching that so many of these young adults actually are desiring.
I think so. And, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, they went through religious education and things, and they have kind of, then they move out into the secular world and they're confronted with all these things, but they still have that deep appreciation for elements of the Catholic faith. So again, it's really the new evangelization. How do we circle back and create opportunities for them to sort of learn and celebrate that faith? Obviously come to Mass on Sunday, go to Adoration, Reconciliation, but they want more. They want to really make it part of their life. So they want opportunities to have that part of their life. And we talked earlier about this sort of this whole age demographic, and I didn't mention, and I think it's important to point out, my children, you know, of their ages, two of them are in Catholic school. If people have the opportunity, or if they can, and we want to make that opportunity available, to send your kids to Catholic school. I mean, the faith formation activities are incredibly important, but we talked about integrating your Catholic faith in every aspect of your life. It's a much different experience if your kids are in Catholic school and are able to sort of have that faith as part of every class, every element of their life. It really, I think, prepares them and builds them to make sure that that faith is holistic and is part of not just a Sunday thing, but is every piece of their life. And I know that participation and the importance of that has sort of waned over the years. But I think that if you're able, I think it's a really neat and important thing to do.
I couldn't agree more. And Catholic school, my children went to Santa Margarita High School, and, you know, it made a big difference in their lives. I went to Loyola Marymount, and the formation of Catholic catechesis education does make a huge difference. But my brothers and sisters, that doesn't relieve us of our responsibility at home. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The very first teachers are you as parents or those listening to make a difference in other people's lives, regardless of whether you have children. You will make a difference just by your love and by your knowledge and by your sharing your faith with other people. We're going to be right back to talk more about communications within the Diocese of Orange, as well as the new evangelization. We'll be right back. Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, beautiful Christ Cathedral on top of the Tower of Hope, with the Director of Communications for the Orange Diocese, Ryan Lillingren. And hope is a big part of what we do, is we give hope. We are light when there is darkness, the light of Christ. We are His eyes, His ears, His hands, His ears. And my brothers and sisters, you have been called to make a difference. To make a difference in love. And so many people are making the difference by spreading their love to those around them. And as a matter of fact, we just had Easter Vigil, which is my most exciting night, and I think the church's most exciting night, mm-hmm. in which those entering the church are baptized. And how are we doing in terms of baptisms?
Well, it's amazing to think, and I think it's just, there's a lot of energy in Orange County. We were amazed to realize that the Diocese of Orange actually had the third largest number of new Catholics at this really great
Fantastic.
Great Easter Vigil, and we're the 10th largest, or the 10th largest diocese. So as far as new Catholics, LA baptized and confirmed the most, New York second, and then Orange was third. I think that just shows you that with such a difference in population size between those areas, LA about 5.5 million, New York 4 million-ish, and Orange about 1.3 million Catholics, to have those numbers says something about the hope that's in the love and the experience that's happening here in Orange County. There's something really special happening here.
But the more that we can also help in terms of communication, the better. And, you know, what really comes to mind is Jesus as a communicator. I mean, he shows up in Capernaum in Galilee. What was that all about? Well, we lead pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and one of the things we learn is that Capernaum was this great port where they went, those in the Middle East came up through the Sea of Galilee, and they may be coming from all parts of the Middle East on their way to Persia, Iraq, and so forth, Iran now. And Jesus knew that was kind of a point in which he would get lots of people from lots of different areas. So he would communicate at a center in which he could get to a number of people. Everything from the Sermon on the Mount, where he's not on top of the mountain, he's at the bottom because the wind carried his voice up the hill. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was the best he could do at the time in terms of communication and getting other people to spread the word, as he said again in Acts 1:8, to Samaria, Judea, to the ends of the earth. He's commissioning those people to do that. Well, Catholic radio does that, and certainly other forms of communication. And a big part of what you do is the center is evangelization through communication. And how has Catholic radio made a difference?
For many years, I think there was a trial run of Catholic radio maybe, 30 years ago in Orange County. It's been a big gap for many, many years. And to be in Orange County, where people spend such an inordinate amount of time in their cars, what a great opportunity to educate, form, and inspire people. So since Catholic radio has come to Orange County and came to L.A., the very large demographic area also, we hear stories of people, hearing your show on the radio, hearing other shows, and then being so excited and inspired that they then talk to somebody at work or they share it after Mass. The opportunity for us and what's happening is we're exciting people, inspiring people, and then they're taking the message beyond. So they get out of their car and they're fired up and they're going to share something they learned with a coworker. I mean, that is absolutely incredible. And I think that does, after Mass, they send us out into the world. Well, we're able to do this consistently from people's cars every day and prepare them and send them out once they arrive at their destination to evangelize and share the love of Christ, which is pretty amazing if you think about it.
And my brothers and sisters, we so appreciate you tuning in. Even if it's for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, obviously we'd love for you to listen to the entire show. But we know when you're driving the car, you can listen to a segment and there's that one thing that Jesus wants you to hear, that one point that to take it within your heart and spread it to your family, to your neighbors, and whatever it is, wherever it is. And the one point, too, that is always at the center of everything is how much Jesus loves you. That Jesus loves you so much, loves you unconditionally, and to take that love with other people. One of the things that's so important on this show is the belief and understanding that Jesus never leaves us. Some of you are suffering right now, and perhaps there's a surgery coming up. Perhaps you're having problems financially. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. And it's so important that we, as Catholics, are in a community in which we help one another. Mm-hmm. And communication is a huge part of uniting that community together.
It is, and this is one that, particularly in Orange County, we struggle with. All of our cities grew up as, individual places. So Seal Beach, Orange, Santa Margarita, all these individual places, and they've kind of grown together over time. And we work, but people still have this very, individualistic sort of view, and our society is very individualistic. I'm the individual, this is my family, this is my community. As Catholics, we're all in communion together with Christ. So when I came to the studio, first thing you did, you gave me a big hug, and you kind of feel that personal connection, and that's really that love that's shared amongst all of us. And people really need to let down their guard and let go of that and just really embrace one another and embrace God. And that's we're really, in all that we're talking about, that is a common thread that we bring up time and time and time again. And the way that we present information is very much open and in community and really showing that love. And I think that that's a subtle thing that you'll see going across all the threads of everything we do from a communications perspective, because I think that's at the heart of what ails the world, is this separation, segmentation that happens. And it's very, very sad. And it shouldn't be. So how do we really spread that, one of the most important messages of Christ, that gathering us all together in communion?
Our dog, one of our dog's names is Barnabas. Mm. And if those of you who know Scripture know that Barnabas was really the teacher of Paul in the beginning, it was Barnabas and Paul. And then, of course, then it was Paul and Barnabas, and then just Paul. But the name Barnabas means encouragement. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what we're called to do, is to be an encourager to one another. And that's a big part of what you do as director of communications, it seems to me, is that you're encouraging people. I mean, I love the Catholic newsletter, a newspaper that you have, because there's encouraging articles one after another, mm-hmm. in which you're teaching people but also giving them hope.
Yeah, what we try to do is, rather than, I think that a lot of times, if you've read a lot of Catholic newspapers around the country and materials, and I know that you've learned this lesson certainly in your ministry, is you need to show people living out their faith in inspiring ways and make it approachable. But people can see that I could do that. That's something that I could, I have these skills. I could do that. And we really try to show those examples. A lot of it's visual, and it's not as easy to tell those stories. It takes a little bit more work to do, but it is much more compelling and encouraging to folks than just, you know, a 2,000-word essay about some element of theology or something like that. We don't see that as the mission of what we're trying to do with our communications efforts. There's a lot of really skilled, much more skilled than I, folks within the church that are doing those incredible writings. For us, it's all about encouraging folks to go out into the world and spread the good news.
You are making an amazing difference, Ryan, and we're so thankful for you. And in the Diocese of Orange, and certainly all the people you work with are making a difference. And thank you so much for being on this show.
Thank you so much, Deacon. And we're blessed to have such an incredible Bishop Kevin Vann, that's empowered us to do this work. And we're really just a conduit for the Holy Spirit. So thank you. Thank you so much, Deacon.
And my brothers and sisters, you are a conduit for the Holy Spirit here listening on Empowered by the Spirit. And you've been called just to share your love of God, your love of Jesus, the love for one another. And you don't have to be a scholar. Just tell people how much you love Jesus and how it's made a difference in your life. And then invite them. Invite them to read the diocesan newsletter. Invite them to listen to the radio show. Invite them to church. Invite them to your home or for a cup of coffee or whatever it might be. Be a person of invitation. And when we invite people, we tell them that we care about them. If you think about what Jesus did, Jesus said, come follow me. He invited people. And that's exactly what we are to do. And my brothers and sisters, we thank you so much for everything you're doing to help build the church, to make a difference. Heavenly Father, we ask blessings upon all of our radio listeners and all the people within their families and all the people who have ever listened. We ask, Lord God, that they be filled with the power of your love, the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord God, that they be touched and healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We ask for all the fruits of thy Spirit, of love and joy, peace, patience, and understanding, to fill their hearts and souls. We ask that they receive this gift of evangelization in which they can share the good news that you have, Lord Jesus, the good news of your salvation and redemption. We ask this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm a soul on fire.